All right, returning to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. Joining me is Tony Leo. I started to say plant chairman. He is Unifor Local 222, political action chairman. And we want to talk a little bit about this amorphous phenomena with the strange political colorations, a kind of a storm, and which is a lot of confusing language is being used here. I guess, Tony, I would, for openers, I would say that I was struck by something that the interest being taken by, is pointed out, mainly U.S. right-wing media has fallen in love with the demonstration that happened and is happening, perhaps, in Ottawa. And among the people speaking up in it with enthusiasm is Elon Musk, or is he Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, declared that Canadian truckers rule on Twitter. And now I'd like to say to him, you know, you might be right if you mean by that the 85% of truckers who are vaccinated and the overwhelming majority of whom have nothing at all to do with the people being described as truckers. I know I'm going to get your views on this, Tony, but one of the points strikes me is that most of them, I gather, of those who came with their trucks are owner-operators. I suspect people who lease their trucks. And if you say trucker, that's one thing. But if it's an owner, if they had said owner operators, I think that maybe the little bit of the charm would kind of be scratched off that image. And again, to just remind, yes, Canadian truckers are vaccinated, Elon Musk. And I guess if you're the richest man in the world, you don't have to be the smartest. But there's a misperception. These truckers, and I'm doing it, owner-operators, I'm going to say, are those who could be doing business, driving across the U.S. border. To enter the U.S., you have to have proof of vaccination. To return to Canada, you have to have proof of vaccination. The United States is approaching 1 million dead Americans from COVID. I'm not surprised that Canada would like its truckers to have their vaccination. And the overwhelming majority of those who go down there and come back are vaccinated. So there's a serious, we're talking about a minority of owner operators. What's your impression of this, Tony?
I think that you've touched on the critical issue, which is the class nature of what's going on. And the right wing likes to dress it up as though they are the champions of working people or workers. And that's why they like to, you know, refer to these people as truckers and not get too deeply into who they actually are. But they certainly aren't, for the most part, working class truckers who work for an employer. They're certainly not members of a union. I searched everywhere I could, and I couldn't find a single reference to a single one of these protesters being a member of the Teamsters Union. And the Teamsters Union certainly has not said anything in support of this phenomena, this convoy and disruption.
We should underline that the Teamsters call on people to be vaccinated.
They do, you know, and they haven't supported this protest. And that's not surprising, because what are the demands? Are they demanding higher wages? Are they demanding that trucking companies stop ripping off drivers and engaging in wage theft? And are they calling for paid sick days for truck drivers and other workers? If they were, I don't think Elon Musk would be out there cheering them on. And neither would Donald Trump Jr. or Maxime Bernier, you know. But that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have a Joe thesis. Tell us about that.
It reminded me of the Joe the Plumber incident in the 2008 election in the United States. And the Republicans, really tried to play up this idea of Joe the Plumber being against Obama and supporting the Republicans. Again, trying to portray him as an ordinary working class figure. But you know what? When he confronted Obama, this is what he said. He said to Obama, "I'm getting ready to buy a company that makes $250,000 to $280,000 a year. Your new tax plan's going to tax me more, isn't it?" You know, and this is a guy, by the way, he wasn't a plumber, never did an apprenticeship, didn't have credentials as a plumber.
He became celebrity. Everybody wanted to talk to Joe the Plumber.
Yeah, and then he...
And he was Mr. Blue Collar.
Mr. Blue Collar, but he wasn't. He was concerned about the tax rate for businesses. Typical Republican approach.
He was not a union member. He didn't have...
No.
You said he didn't have papers.
Didn't have papers, wasn't a union member, and didn't care about union members. He didn't care about the issues of working people. And that's the same with these truckers. You know, there are real issues with safety. There's issues with wage theft in Brampton and Toronto and some major centers. Maybe 50% of truck drivers are from immigrant communities, a lot from South Asia, Sikhs. And many of them are misclassified by the trucking companies. The trucking companies, they don't own or lease trucks. They're just drivers. They're hired as drivers, but they're coerced to sign papers incorporating themselves so that the companies can pretend that they're independent contractors and not pay them overtime and not pay deductions to the government. Rip them off for their wages. Hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars have been stolen from these people. Why, if this is a movement of truckers, why are they demanding justice for those truck drivers who are being ripped off by trucking companies?
Yeah. This is CIUT, the Taylor Report. That was the voice of Tony Leo from Unifor Local 222. One of the things that striking here about the events at in Ottawa was that Maxime Bernier was there. And I think you and others have pointed out that to me that they've gone to a lot of trouble to kind of create a fog, a political fog. So you can see a heavy ideological element in who organized it and what they're doing. But the only politician who was treated like a special guest was Mr. Bernier, which is, I think, a giveaway as to what the politics is. And here's a turn in this that I think we got to pay attention to. Bernier made a statement in which he said, we have the COVID, okay, we got it. So we're going to have to learn to live with it. And he says, we all know that. That's practical. Now, this is the troubling part. On the very day that he said that, in Toronto, Toronto is moving from trying to eradicate COVID to learning to live with the virus while minimizing the negative impact. If I find this in the light, just as we do every other, we do with influenza, said Public Health Chief Dr. Eileen DeVille. She told reporters, and here's the part that concerns me most. She told reporters at a Friday briefing that public health officials around the world are concluding that given how many people are being infected with Omicron variant, a COVID zero strategy no longer makes sense. And they say, well, that's interesting. Now she's telling us about the world. And now, and she is saying, let's be frank, exactly what Mr. Bernier said. Mr. Bernier said that. By the way, he's a guy who knows how to play a losing hand. He's going to lose because actually we're all vaccinated pretty much. And we think the guys who aren't are wrong. So you put those against each other and he's going to have a very loyal, passionate group behind him. But when it comes to that proposition, learn to live with it. That's the headline. Then you couple that, let me go big time sinister here. The United States is beginning a campaign against China in which some of their diplomatic personnel say that they're going to leave China because China is too restrictive in its program on COVID. And the International Monetary Fund, the president of it, and I'll find the name in a moment, but the president of the IMF said that China has to give up on this practice. And yes, IMF chief, the International Monetary Fund has raised a warning against China's zero COVID approach, saying that the hardline policy risks damaging the global economy. So not only are they going to back off on actually doing their duty to guarantee broad public health, but they're going to weaponize it and say China can't do it because we surrendered. China's supposed to surrender too, to the COVID. You have any thoughts about that?
That's really striking. It's undoubtedly true that the one country that is showing how to deal with COVID is China to protect their people. It's a real people's republic, of course, and they've done it. But it requires caring about people, providing supports, and that's what capitalist governments have not been willing to do. They don't want to put out money to support workers if they're off work, they don't want to provide money for contract tracing, and they don't want to provide people with meals and accommodation while they're in quarantine, and they don't want to pay people sick pay when they're off work, because they want everybody to get to work and start, you know, keep making money for them. And that's what they're so desperate to undermine.
And they're going back to where Donald Trump said we were supposed to be. And Doug Ford, I remember Prime Minister Johnson of Britain saying, well, we're going to have to take it on the chin. And Donald Trump said, well, it'll burn out by Easter.
Sure. It'll poof, it'll disappear. Now, like you say, there's almost a million Americans.
Since he said it, it's about 500,000 dead.
But from the point of view of workers, what we need is real protection from the pandemic and from those capitalists who are trying to exploit us. So I guess from a working class point of view, we're not going to support the demand for no mandates. We do need mandates to protect public health. I'd like to see mandates to prevent wage theft from drivers and other workers. I'd like to see mandates that provide health care and sick pay for workers. And that would restrict the profit making of corporations. Isn't that what we should support?
Yeah. You wouldn't find any at Parliament building, that the guys inside the building and the guys outside would agree, no, that is not something that we want to do. I was very struck by the way, the Chinese response when they heard the Americans were saying they didn't like the restrictions, and particularly those leaving. They said, so in other words, you're going from a place where you're safe to a place where you're in danger. It's kind of hard to help anybody out who's on that. But let's talk also the fact, the failure, the public health failure to tackle it with the isolation, tracing, other steps, quarantine to make people safe. The failure to do that led to this thing called the variant. And all this easing up and dropping mandates, et cetera, I mean, I shouldn't call them mandates, there haven't been many, but easing, that doesn't mean that COVID decides to go home. It doesn't even have a choice. It just goes ahead and does what it does. But it is just a pathetic situation where we have this kind of demonstration where they said, oh, we want you to end the mandate on one particular, the issue of border crossing. And when Bernier says the same thing as the chief health officer of Toronto, they're pushing against an open door. I would say that they almost want to come in late so that they can say, must have been our demonstration that caused that. You see, we had the big demonstration and all of a sudden, but the very same day, the health officer is saying what Bernier is saying. That's that troubles me. And also, I would like to have been a fly on the wall of this world meeting of health officers she was referring to, because I doubt that they all agree.
Well, they couldn't have had a health minister from Cuba there, or from China, or
Vietnam, Korea, New Zealand, the one eye of the five eyes that is actually open. Anyway, I think it's a very important matter to return to. I'll throw in this other thing. I don't know if I mentioned. You mentioned Joe, the plumber. Also, when the Nixon felt threatened by progressives in the left, they called out the hard hats for Nixon. And it's, of course, another thing they like to call the silent majority, which you say, well, it's a democracy. You do take votes. And so who's in office? And so, but they bluff it. And those hard hats that Nixon created were so that he could be the blue collar guy. Joe the plumber, Nixon's hard hat. By the way, further cultural reference, the movie Joe. See, regular Joe is a blue collar guy, and he gets to talking to a right-wing intellectual about how he doesn't like his daughter hanging out with hippies. The guy gets him wound up and he goes and kills all the hippies. I would urge people to look at that. Just to remind our listeners, apropos of our discussion, Ukraine, that a draft treaty was presented by Russia to the United States, and it was made public so that you could read it. And I urge you to do so. And you'll find it on the Taylor Report Facebook. The United States made an answer finally to a written public statement by Russia. However, the American position wasn't printed. So which one of these two sides believes in transparency and letting the people in on these things? We really ought to take a look at this rules-based order. It seems to be rules by people like Freeland and Newland and Blinken, or then that Blinken Biden. So I urge you to look at that. We need to have a reduction of the tension around Ukraine. This is Phil Taylor for the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. Thanks for being with us. See you next week.